2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Dota into DFS pros.
Podcast part two of the NBA playoffs. This pod here is for the Sunday games. Just wanted to get that earlier one out so everybody could hear it before the slate lock for Saturday's game. So, all right, looking at the schedule here, I believe we've got Bucks Celtics taking off at the beginning of the day on Sunday, correct? Yes. All right. So that right there, you've got the number two seeded Boston Celtics going up against the number seven seeded Milwaukee Bucks. Celtics favored by 4 in that game. Total at 201. Okay, so this is probably the throwaway series of the first round. Now that Boston has all their injuries and that kind of sucks. Regardless of all that, do you think Milwaukee has an easy time in this series?
No, easy, absolutely not. So here's the thing. A lot of my friends are like, oh yeah, I think Milwaukee without Kyrie, they'll sweep them. I'm like, wait, what? And in full candor, everybody knows I'm a diehard Lakers fan. So the last thing I want to do is talk up the Celtics. Okay,
but this drapes himself in purple velvet on a daily basis.
He's not joking.
With yellow but, undershirt.
Yes, so gold. But yes. The Celtics defensively are just not – they're not a joke. I mean, they're going to have a really difficult time here. And Kyrie, frankly, doesn't give them any more on the defensive end. He's all offense, and you need to score, sure. But that does not change the defensive prowess of the team.
Don't tell that to the NBA diehard. Oh, my God, Kyrie is the best defender now.
Not even close. So everything there begins and ends with Giannis and, you know, his ability to score, get inside the passing lanes and get steals and initiate the fast break and do all the stuff that Giannis does. So tomorrow I don't see any way that I don't play a bunch of Giannis, but today technically for you guys listening. I think you're going to have a lot of Chris Middleton matched up with Jason Tatum. So I like Middleton a lot. I think Middleton is going to be – here's the thing about Chris Middleton. He's expensive, right? He's 8,200. But Middleton is one of the best players that most casual fans never heard of. Middleton's going to have to – establish himself on the offensive end for the Bucks to have a chance in this series. And he knows that. And the coaching staff knows that. And they've already told him. So I look at Middleton to put up 20-plus shots easily in tomorrow's game.
I like that. Very, very sneaky right there. I get the big question people really want to know about, should I pay up for Giannis?
Yeah.
Not me personally, but should the –
I mean, how do you not? I mean, obviously you're going to have like guys like Russell Westbrook tomorrow you can pay up for. You're going to have guys like James Harden you can pay up for. LeBron James you're going to pay up for. So the thing about Sunday's games versus Saturday's games, Sunday has a lot more studs, which is, you know, showcase day. So I get it. This is the reason why I have at least 5-6 lineups for the playoffs. So many studs, you know, it's tough to choose. But, I'm probably going to go LeBron over Giannis, but we'll see.
It is worth noting, of the top 7 fantasy point performances from Bucks players this season, the Greek has the top 4, Your boy Middleton has the next three.
Wow. Yeah. Hello.
Certainly worth worrying. All right. So anybody else here on the Bucks that you think is worthy of being a difference maker here in the series?
Yeah, I think guys that nobody's going to talk about, guys like, you know, Dellavedova and Malcolm Brogdon, you know, those are guys that, well, both of those guys haven't played lately because of injury. And I think Brogdon came back, Dellavedova came back. They're going to rely on that leadership, that experience during this playoff run in order to you know, help them get through it. Some of these guys... all of these guys have gone through the playoffs before, but I don't think they've been expected to do much damage in the playoffs like they are right now. So I do like Brogdon a lot. I think Brogdon will go kind of forgotten about. He's 3,900. So, yeah, I mean, that's – but outside of that, maybe Jabari Parker. I think I'm going to have some exposure to Jabari. Because, again, they'll need him to score. So I think Brad Stevens is going to do everything he can to prevent Giannis from scoring. Good luck with that, but you're going to try. But I think Jabari has the kind of skill set between his mid-range, his shooting, his ability to post, and then his handle to be able to penetrate. He'll be very valuable to the Bucks this series.
All right. Stay with me here on this one, all right? Mm-hmm. Actually, hold on. Before I ask you to stay with me, for the Bucks, any like a John Hanson, Tyler Zeller. I mean, could these guys be interesting? I mean, Zeller, former Celtic.
Yeah. I mean, I can't play a guy that's not going to play at least 20 minutes. It's very difficult to do. So that's going to be tough for me to do.
Yeah, I guess my line of thinking here was that since there are so many studs on that slate there on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe a guy like that could kind of sneak through the cracks, but it doesn't seem like you're too enthused about it.
Nah.
All right, fair enough. All right, now, here's where I'm going here with this next one. So, if you look at, you know, how guys have done against, or certain Celtics have done against the Bucks this season, you take a look, and it's a glaring noticeability there. Al Horford has done fantastic things against the Milwaukee Bucks this season. However, pretty expensive for who Al Horford is, right? Like 7,400 doesn't really offer a ton of upside at his price. I'm wondering, could Marcus Morris potentially slide into that role for a cheaper cost?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the time to do it. I off the subject real quick. I'm just looking at I'm on Twitter, and Nick Young, first time in the playoffs in 6 years, shows up to the game in boxers and a silk robe.
Yeah, that's typically, you know, what most people do.
Oh, my Lord. All right.
I bet you're glad he's not a Laker anymore.
You know what? I couldn't be happier. So Al Horford, right? That's what you're talking about?
Yeah, kind of a Al Horford, Marcus Morris.
Yeah, no, the guys that do really well versus the Bucks have been the bigger players, right? So obviously Horford, Baines, Morris. So I was listening to an interview today from their practice, Boston, and Morris says, you know what? Nobody gives us a chance. No one's giving us the respect. Tomorrow we're coming out and we're taking that respect.
Yep.
So I think he's hyped up. He's ready to play. And so, you know, with Milwaukee not having a true center, I mean, they've got Zeller, but he doesn't play that much. I think you're going to see a lot more of Morris in there, so you can get 30-plus minutes out of Morris. I think Jaylen Brown's going to be required to play a lot of defense tomorrow. That's going to be interesting to see. I like Jaylen in up-tempo games. Boston's not generally an up-tempo team. They're more of a half-court team, but when they get pace-up games, I like it. This is not that big of a pace-up game for them. So I'm on the fence about Jaylen, but I do like some Tatum. I think Rozier's in a good place. Certainly Rozier is going to go up against Bledsoe, which is not the best, but they're going to need him to score. I mean, the mentality going into this series is you know, Terry, we don't have Kyrie. We need you. He's not going to become Kyrie Irving, but we need you to be more aggressive on the offensive end. We need you to score more. So I think that bodes well for Rozier as well.
I dig it. I dig it. Yeah, and you mentioned Baines there too. Career night against my Brooklyn Nets there in the regular season finale. So, you know, you wonder if he could carry that into this series. Very interesting to know too here that at least for game one anyway, the Celtics open as 2-point favorites. Actually jumped to minus four in this one. The total's gone down 4 points as well. So, I think a lot of that boding pretty well for the Celtics, at least for the first game. So, you know, we'll see how the rest of that series goes. Anything else from that one? Are we good to move on?
Good to move on for that.
Thank goodness. All right. Indiana, Cleveland. I like this one because I think most people assume Cavs, LeBron's just going to roll through Indy in this one. Now, what's interesting is that it was last season that these teams faced off in the first round, correct? Or it was
yes.
2 years ago?
One of the two. That was the Lance blowing in his ear thing.
All right. I thought that was back in the day, but
could be.
I think I believe it was last season that they played some of the playoffs. But anywho, you know, Indy actually matches up pretty well with Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, there are a lot of different things that each team can do. Again, just like kind of that Miami-Philly series where I said, you know, I expect the differential in every game to be, you know, 10 points or lower. I kind of feel the same way in this series. And it's not that I think that Cleveland's going to underachieve. I Indiana's been a really good team this season. They've gone under the radar.
Yeah, they have. They've been really good defensively as well.
Yeah,
And Cleveland hasn't. So, I don't think there's a chance that the Cavs lose here, but I think it's going to be a series. I think they're going to be pushed and they're going to be tested. I really, really like Oladipo here a lot. I think Oladipo understands that this is now his team. This is now his for the taking in terms of the franchise. He's going to have not the best defenders on him. We'll see what those starting lineups look like, but it looks like Kyle Korver is going to be playing. J.R. Smith's going to be playing. So he's going to have, you know, maybe some George Hill on him. We'll see, but any one of those guys, I'm happy with Debo. If I'm playing 30, 40 GPP lines, I'm going to have some exposure to Miles Turner. Again, we'll have to see what the starters look like, but if they do decide to go with Nance at the five, obviously it's not as good because Nance is a good defender, but I kind of like the upside for Turner there. So outside of obviously Oladipo, I think one of the sneakier plays from Indiana is going to be UCLA's own Darren Collison.
Oh, you're right in my mind wave right now there.
Yeah.
Seriously.
We've been targeting guards versus Cleveland all year. We're going to continue to target guard versus Cleveland throughout the playoffs. Collison is a guy that I think really we already know what Oladipo does. I think he's kind of the guy that they need to do more to give them a chance to push the series through.
Yeah, I think with Collison, too, you see he's had a lot of success against Cleveland this season. Two that went for at least 45 fantasy points. You got another one here where he went for 34 fantasy points. I think, you know, the boomer bust nature is usually there with Darren Collison, but bring up a good point, you know, in this series, I think, you know, he's probably the guy that goes overlooked. I think Cleveland kind of, you know, shifts all their attention to Victor Oladipo and does everything they can to not let him beat them. So right. That really leaves a nice opportunity here for Collison. And you look at Oladipo's numbers against the Cavs this season. I mean, he only had one game where he put up 50 or more fantasy points. It like that's just looks like the natural way. Like they make everybody but Oladipo beat them.
Exactly.
So that is good. Now, I will say most of the these two teams haven't faced each other since the end of January. So, you know, lots changed between both teams. But
again, at least for game one, I would assume they make anybody but Oladipo try to beat them. All right, let's go to the Cavs side of things. I freaking love LeBron James and Kevin Love in this situation. I think, look, it's go time for the Cavs. I was listening to a great interview the other day on my boy Cowherd's show. One of the guys, the Cleveland beat writers, came on the show, and they were talking about Kevin Love's numbers basically when it's him and LeBron together, and Love absolutely dominates, as well as LeBron does too. So, if you remember, there was a trade that that brought a certain Isaiah Thomas to town, to Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of a momentary hitch in Kevin Love's production. They said once Isaiah Thomas went away and it was just, you know, LeBron and Kevin Love is the number two option there, things were working out just fine. So, yeah, I really, really, really love this combination pairing of having Kevin Love and LeBron James.
Yeah, man, it's hard to avoid it for sure. It looks like Love will be starting at the five with Jeff Green at the four. Again, not confirmed. That's kind of what it looks like they're going to be doing. So that leaves Love with Miles Turner, and that's, you know, I'm not afraid of that at all. So I agree. I think Love will be super aggressive. So yeah, I don't mind pairing those either.
All right, dig it. Any sneaky guys here in Cleveland that we're not thinking about?
Yeah. I think Rodney Hood should be in that sneaky category. I think Rodney Hood has taken a lot of crap for not being healthy and not being the player they wanted him to be and all this kind of stuff. I think he's going to have something to prove.
Just looking at the minutes projections for game one tomorrow, we've got Jeff Green at 32 minutes, Larry Nance at 17. Any way that possibly, gets split between the two? Or is it really going to be Jeff Green for that much more than Nance?
I mean, Jeff Green is the experienced one. You know, this is a playoffs. This is you got to win these games. So they're going to want – Nance never been to the playoffs. So I don't know that they thrust Nance into 20, 30 minutes all of a sudden. He'll get a few, but I think you might see a little more Nance maybe in the next round, or maybe, you know, on the road or something like that. So it's going to be more Jeff Green.
Yeah, let's also not forget, too, Cleveland, not exactly, I guess other than LeBron James, not exactly the most trustworthy team when it comes to health out there. So
yeah.
Situations can certainly change within the series at the snap of a finger. All right, I feel like that's good for that series. So we got two more left that we got to talk about. We got the Utah Jazz going up against the OKC Thunder, and boy, it does not look good for the Thunder in this game. They're only favored by 3.5. That's actually the lowest line of any favorite here in the first round. Hell, even lower than the Boston Celtics against the Milwaukee Bucks. So I think that's very telling. Look, Utah's played awesome this season, especially now that they got all their horses back together. I think things are going to shape up pretty nicely for here. And again, too, hey, look, the Warriors can't get that first-round series up against, the San Antonio Spurs. I talked about this on the other pod with the Portland Trailblazers, but I think Utah, you know, if things align the right way, they can make a nice little run here.
Here's the thing. I know that our man Keith is going to hate what I'm about to say.
That's no problem.
But I don't think the Thunder make it out of this series.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I was alluding to. But yeah, absolutely.
I think the Jazz defense is stifling. They swarm. There's not a single guy in that rotation that is not a phenomenal defender, with the exception of Mitchell, who's a rookie, he's learning. But beside, and that'll match him up with, Corey Brewer. So, I mean, Rubio, I mean, Ingles, Favors, Gobert, Crowder, even Jurepko, all these guys can play D. It's going to they are really good at slowing down even the best teams in the league. Slowing them down. They just, and I know it wasn't the same team, but they just crushed the Warriors by 40. I mean, and they slowed it way, way down. I agree. I think the Thunder are in trouble because of their draw.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, you know, there's just not a lot of great spots to attack here, you know, for both teams. Now, it's funny, like Donovan Mitchell probably, like, you know, it would seem like would have a fantastic opportunity to do well here. But again, like, you know, he's a rookie. It's going to be his first NBA playoff game. OKC, one of the better crowds in the league, can definitely get under a player's skin. Do you have a ton of worry about Mitchell, or you think, you know, he'll be just fine?
I definitely don't have a ton of worry. I think he's not in the greatest. So here's the thing. He's going to probably end up drawing Corey Brewer, who was brought in for his defense. But he's not Drew Holiday, right? I mean, I don't worry as much about it. So I think this is where Mitchell wants to put his stamp on the league in the playoffs. So he's going to come out firing.
One thing, I probably should have looked at this prior to mentioning it, but the Jazz and OKC haven't met since December 23rd, so long time. Now, we'll say this, Russell Westbrook, you look at his numbers here against the Jazz, he's done pretty well this season. However, I need to know if this is when Rudy Gobert was out of the lineup for the Jazz, because if you remember, Utah's defense, like, really took a step back when they were missing Rudy Gobert. They became more of a fast-paced team, not really focusing so much on the defense. So I'm going to take a look into that and see if that's the case. But, I mean, I don't see Russell Westbrook putting up these greater numbers against Utah like he did in the regular season. Or I'm taking a look even too. Like, Carmelo Anthony had some pretty good games. Paul George had a good game. I don't see that being the case in the series.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough.
Just as I suspected. Rudy Gobert. Out.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. That changes everything, man. I mean, it really does. But, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you should still be playing some Westbrook. We know what his ceiling looks like, so you can't just completely avoid Russell, not in the first round of the playoffs. But I do. So some of the guys that I don't mind here, this is going to shock you, and this is going to shock every one of the guys that are following me in my channel and on Twitter.
I can handle it. I don't know if the guys in your channel can handle it, but go on.
I think I might actually have to play Carmelo Anthony.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Whoa!
Thing about it is, the Jazz start Favors at the four, where Carmelo starts.
Yep.
And Favors is not a perimeter defender. He's a great down-low guy, mid-range guy, but out around the three-point line, with Paul George being smothered and Westbrook being smothered, I think it's going to give Melo some more shots that he might normally not have. At 5K, I think I like the upside there.
All right. Let me counter you real quick.
Yeah.
Well, Utah, they made a pretty good deal near the deadline, getting themselves Jay Crowder in the mix. If that's the case, I mean, they could go with more Crowder instead of Favors.
Yeah, what they've been doing since they got him is they've been pretty much splitting the time between those two. So what happens is when Gobert sits, they bring in Crowder and move Favors to the five. And then when Favors sits, they bring back in Gobert and crowd him over to the four. To the four. So, they'll both get equal amount of run. It's just a matter of the rotations there, which we don't know yet in the playoffs because Crowder's very new to them. So we'll have to see. But, yeah, Crowder is going to play a huge factor in that game. Absolutely.
All right. So I went back and looked. Gobert missed two of those games not three of them like I initially thought. So,
okay.
But again, those were games that guys definitely went off a little more. How do you feel about Steven Adams going up against Gobert? I know it's typically, you know, not a matchup that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need the Kawasaki going on outside. This is ridiculous. But. It's typically not a matchup that you really want to run headfirst into, but, I mean, they need him against Gobert.
They're going to need him a lot. They're going to need him against anyone they face. He's a really big part of the team. Toughest guy on the team, maybe in the league.
I mean, he did take multiple nut shots from Greg.
Yeah.
And did not cry about it. So.
Like nothing happened. So I don't mind it. I think because of the individual defense Utah plays, you're going to see the Thunder running a lot more pick and roll with Adams being the pick guy. Mm-hmm. And so that bodes well for him because they've been playing that really well all season with Russ and Steven and Paul George and Steven, even some Carmelo and Steven. So a lot less, but still some. So yeah, no, I think what's his price? Where are you, Steve? $6,300. That's a really good price.
Yes.
That's a really good price.
Okay, let's see. I wanted to check real quick before we go on. I've been making a point in doing it, seeing who's been the most productive. By the way, if you guys want to check out how you can see how a player did against a particular team this season. Typically what I do is I go to statnews.com and I type in, like, for instance, the game that we're talking about right now. Jazz players, game log, most DK and FD points versus OKC this season. And then it pulls up, you know, everything in a row for you. So that's easier. Look at it. Donovan Mitchell, the guy we're talking about, actually has the two highest fantasy point production games of any Jazz player against OKC. After that, everything is up in the air, which kind of leads me to two guys that I usually go with often here, Ricky Rubio, Joe Ingles. Now, I know Ingles, it's a god-awful matchup against Paul George, but the guy still manages, as ugly as that shot is, he manages to find himself right around the 30-point range more often than not. And then, too, Rubio going back and forth with Russell Westbrook. The results have not been good at all for Rubio against Westbrook this season. But, again, these guys haven't played since the end of December, and Rubio has been leaps and bounds better than I think he's ever been in his entire career coming down the stretch.
Indeed, he has. This is a different animal for him. Like you said, I mean, he's going up against Russ. That's not enviable by any stretch. We talk about Donovan Mitchell. I'm watching with subtitles, of course, an interview here with Paul George, and one of the reporters says, you know, what do you think about having to guard Donovan Mitchell? And he goes, quote, "Y'all ain't met playoff P yet, huh? It's a fun guy to watch. It's an out of body person." So he's Paul George is taking on the role of the Donovan Mitchell stopper. For those of you that don't really watch much Paul George, that's a really bad sign for Donovan Mitchell because the guy is a phenomenal defender.
Indeed he is. Indeed he is. All right. We all good with this shit show series? Fantastic. Great. All right. Last one on the docket here.
Yep.
My favorite playoff team, the Houston Rockets, going up against the Minnesota Timberwolves. This is a 1-8 matchup here in the West. Let's start with the Rockets, who I believe will end up winning the NBA championship this season. But James Harden, Chris Paul, really going to make life difficult on the Minnesota Timberwolves, who basically were given the gift of the playoffs because there's no way they should have won that game with how they played down the stretch against Denver, but they got it. So is it going to be an auto lock for Harden and Chris Paul series?
I mean, maybe not both, but definitely, I mean, yeah. I mean, look, like you said, the Timberwolves crawled in, but the thing about it is, here's where you're going to get a lot of your counter arguments, and that is, oh, well, Jimmy Butler is going to go and guard James Harden. Maybe, but that hasn't stopped Harden before. Plus, if so, for me, it's going to be very simple. You either play Harden or you play Chris Paul. And if you're not playing Harden, you have to play Chris Paul. And if you're going to, and I don't hate playing both. The tempo of this series is going to be probably second or maybe even equal to New Orleans, Portland. These are, or even Cleveland, Indiana. Like, these are two teams that love to move and run up and down the court. For the Rockets, if they're not constantly passing the ball, D'Antoni yells at you. Like, you have got, unless Harden has it, then he can do whatever he wants. It's true. D'Antoni's like everybody else. He yells at them. Harden does whatever he wants. He doesn't care.
Chris Paul, like, with the second unit, he gets, he certainly gets some of those liberties. But, yes, go on.
Not as much as Harden, but you're right. He does get some of them. So those two, yeah, I mean, you're going to play one or two or not both.
I'm sorry. I just want to say real quick, how awesome is it that the Rockets are going to have a Hall of Fame point guard on the floor at all times? I mean, we gossed about it a little bit in the regular season, but now that the playoffs are here, my goodness. Good luck with that, team. Good luck.
I mean, it makes all the difference for them, right? I mean, the reason why the Rockets haven't been able to do anything in the playoffs is because every time James Harden sits down, they get either lose their lead or they're down by even more than they were when he sat down. Now with Harden sitting down and Chris Paul taking over, that's not going to be the case. So it's a really big deal for them. I picked them out of the West as well. I've been picking them out of the West since midway through the season. So I don't see how anybody beats this team. Couple of other guys from Houston that I'm interested in.
Okay.
Clint Capella.
Yeah.
He's going to be the recipient of many alley-oops. He's going to have the lack of defense by one Karl-Anthony Towns. I think he can really crush, so I think he's in a good spot here. And then a mid-range priced guy I'm not afraid to play is Eric Gordon. I think, again, with this pace, there's enough shots to go around. We've got Eric Gordon at 34 minutes at under 6K, a guy that can really, really put the ball in the hole. So I don't mind that either.
Yeah, I dig it. I dig it. I love that Clint Capella play. I mean, you know, plenty of teams have shit on Minnesota down low, well, from the center position, not necessarily power forward, but yeah, I really like that play a lot for Capella. You know, what's a very underrated point here is that here we have a matchup of two teams, the Rockets and the Timberwolves, whose coaches, that word rest just doesn't come into their vocabulary often. So, you know, now that they're playing each other in the playoffs, you're going to get a lot of people's best minutes, but, you know, whatever the best minutes is, add, like, you know, three or four on top of it for these guys. So I definitely like that. I guess in terms for the Rockets and just looking at who's been the most productive, Harden had the three top fantasy point production games from a Rockets player this season. After that, Chris Paul, Capella, Eric Gordon, Paul, Capella. So, again, it looks like a nice little core there with Harden, Paul, Capella there for the Rockets. And then, you know what's really funny, too, is that I don't know what the deal is with Ryan. I guess Ryan Anderson's not playing right now for the Rockets.
He is available, but D'Antoni said he likely won't play.
Okay. It's just Ryan Anderson's career at Minnesota is hysterical. It's like he owns the damn place. It's like 30 points, like, without hesitation. But, again, if he's not going to be playing a major role, I would not take that chance. Trevor Ariza, P.J. Tucker, it's not going to be great matchups for them, but the amount of minutes they're going to play at that price, I assume both guys are going to start this series well under 5K.
Yeah.
But, you might as well take advantage of that while you can before their price goes up.
Yeah, I agree. I don't envy Ariza because he's going to have to probably match up with Jimmy Butler. But if Butler ends up going on Harden defensively, that'll leave Ariza a little more open. So something to keep in mind.
All right, cool. All right, so from the Minnesota side of things, if you've been under a rock, Karl-Anthony Towns owns the Houston Rockets, and it's hysterical because the
the one time that he didn't, I remember we had a guy in our Slack channel asking, why does everybody love Karl-Anthony Towns against the Rockets so much, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, everybody would post the scores of what he did. And I think it was that night that he only put up 42 on DraftKings, 39 on FanDuel. That's by far the lowest that Karl-Anthony Towns has, like, ever done against the Rockets. There were two games this season. He went well over 60. He had one near 50 against them this season as well. But, like, again, those are all lows. Karl-Anthony Towns just straight up owns the Rockets. Mm-hmm. So, all right, we know D'Antoni is being probably the best offensive coach in the NBA, if not ever. Do you think he can do anything to kind of neutralize Towns' production here?
Nah.
Like, no hesitation, nah.
Dude, I mean, he is playing next level lately. We have him slated for 42 minutes.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I mean,
considering that's 48 in an NBA game.
It's enough time to drink water and come back in the game. So even that might be a little rushed. But So I'm playing a ton of Cat. I don't see how you don't. I kind of like Andrew Wiggins here.
Okay.
And I say that because you're going to see Paul on Teague. So probably not going to play too much Teague over 7K. But at 6,300 for Wiggins, who we have him scheduled projected for 40 minutes in an up-tempo game, highest total of the night. I mean, I like and Wiggins is at a point, too, where he hears the chatter, man. He hears people say, dude, we paid you all this money. Why are you just standing there not doing anything? Believe me, these guys hear that stuff, and there's no better place to show up than the playoffs.
Hell, why not? Yeah, Wiggins has actually done pretty well against the Rockets this season. He's been right in that 30 territory about three times out of the four. It doesn't look like he played, let's see here. Yeah, I guess they only played each other three times this season, the two teams. So, you know, Wiggins pretty consistently there, around 30 fantasy points on both sites there. So, not bad. I'm glad that the minutes projections kind of listened to what I just said recently, where they're like, oh, yeah, we're just going to take the usual minutes that they get and then sprinkle about four or five on top of it. And there you go. Boom. We've got Timberwolf minutes.
Yeah, pretty much. So, I have some NBA league shattering news.
Okay. I'm very interested.
Elfrid Payton cut off that unfortunate hair.
Oh, no. So
yeah.
Now he can take jump shots without that floppy mop hitting the ball.
Well, at least we will be able to test out that theory.
Okay. All right. Good for him. All right. So I guess that'll do it here. I guess it's worth Jeff Teague had two pretty good games against the Rockets too this season. So, you know.
He did. I remember those games. Yeah.
That's worth mentioning there. So, all right. Now that we're done, let's go through. We'll do a rapid fire here. We'll do a little playoff bracket with Bear here. So, from the East, let me get your prediction on all the series. We'll start off with the 1-8 with the Raptors Wizards. Who wins and in how many?
Raptors in six.
I'm documenting this, Bear, okay?
Good. I hope you do.
So, from that, so if we're looking at the grouping there, we got the Pacers Cavs.
Cavs in five.
Okay. We've got the Philadelphia 76ers and the Miami Heat.
I think this one will be the Sixers in seven.
I like it. That's exactly what I was thinking. And then, finally, oh, geez. Milwaukee Bucks, Boston Celtics.
Boston in seven.
All right. Now, real quick, I should have been giving these while I was doing them. I'm going to go for the top one, Raptors in five.
You're writing these down, right?
Yes, I am writing them down. Raptors in five. And then I'm going to go Cleveland in seven.
Wow.
That one, yes. I totally agree with you. Philly in seven over the Miami Heat. And then I'm sorry. What was your prediction there for Milwaukee, Boston?
Boston in seven.
Boston in seven. I'm going to go Bucks in six on that one.
Ooh.
Yes. Sure, got that. All right, so Boston in seven, and I've got Bucks in six. All right, so only one disagreement there at the top. We will pick it up later to get more of these predictions. All right, let's go to the West. Rockets and Timberwolves.
Rockets in five. I was going to even say a sweep, but we'll go with five.
Okay. I have the same there. Rockets in five. Spurs. We're actually, hold on. We'll go 4-5 here. So that would be, what, that's Rockets. No. That's Jazz Thunder, right? Or is that, or the Blazers 4-5?
Blazers Pelicans 4-5, yeah.
Okay, so let's go with that one first, huh?
I'm going to go Blazers in six.
Blazers. I'm going to go Blazers in seven on that one. I think the home team wins every game in that series.
Yeah, could very well be.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right. And then for that one, we'll have to – oh, no, this one will be Spurs, Warriors. What do you got here?
I'm picking the Spurs to upset the Warriors.
How many games?
It's probably going to go six or seven.
I'll give you seven. I'm going to go Warriors in seven in that one. I think they struggle, but I think that they finally pick it up later on in the series. And then, finally, the Jazz and OKC in that one.
Utah in six.
Okay, so Utah in six. I'm going to do the same. I'm going to go Utah in six there. All right, so now we've got our matchups set for the second round here. We both got this one. So Cleveland and Toronto in that one.
Hoo-hoo-wee!
Yeah.
I'm going to go Toronto, man.
All right. How many games?
Probably seven.
Okay. I like it. I too have the same thing. Look, I got the Raptors going to the NBA Finals, so I'm not backing off on this prediction. Seven there. Okay, so we've got a different second-round matchup here, but that's okay. We can navigate around it. You've got Philly versus Boston. I've got Philly versus Milwaukee. So in your scenario, who you got there, Philly or Boston?
I got Boston in five.
Ooh, barely going big. All right, in that one, I'm going to go Philly in five in that one. I think they roll against the Celtics. I like the matchup there. All right, so for the West, we've got the same matchup here. It would be Rockets against the Blazers.
Rockets in five.
Rockets in five. I like what Portland can do. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt in an extra game there. So okay. Rockets in six in that one for me.
Okay.
All right. We both like the Jazz. So we've got different matchups here for that one. So you've got Jazz Spurs. So who do you see going from that one?
Holy crap. That's going to be a boring series.
You want to change your answer?
Oh, goodness. No, I'm going to stick with Utah again. And I'm going to say Utah. Here's the thing. It's going to be a seven-game series, and that seventh game is going to be really a coin flip. So if they have Kawhi back, it's going to be the Spurs. If they don't have Kawhi back, it's going to be the Jazz.
All right. Well, I'm going to say I'll give the executive here. So I don't think Kawhi is going to be a normal human being again this season. So we'll go Jazz for you there. And then I think the Warriors, you know, if they get Stephen Curry back at that time, they can be okay. They can handle the Jazz. I say they do. If they get Stephen Curry back, and again, we've heard conflicting reports on this, I think that they can handle the Jazz in five games. I'm not as worried about the Warriors as everybody else is, but, you know, that's for next round. All right, so we've got the conference finals matchup set. You've got Toronto against Boston. I've got Toronto against Philly. I know we both like the Raptors here. So we've got the Raptors going to the finals, and how many games do they do it in?
Let's go with six.
Six? Okay, Raptors in six. I think if they do play Philly, I think it goes the distance. Game seven party up in Toronto for the Raptors to go to the NBA Finals for the first time in franchise history. They take it down to seven. All right, so here we've got
Rockets Jazz for you in the conference finals, and then I've got Rockets Warriors in the conference finals. I know we both like the Rockets here.
So which conference are we in right now?
Western.
Western. Who do you have?
For you, it would be the Rockets against the Jazz. For me, Rockets Warriors.
Yeah, so Rockets in six.
Okay, Rockets in six. I think if everything happens here for the Warriors, and they've got everybody back, I think it goes the distance. So I'll say Rockets in seven here for the conference final against the Warriors. So that pits us here with a Rockets-Raptors NBA Finals series. Who do you think wins this?
We both have the same finals, right?
Yep.
Man, I gotta tell you, man, this is gonna be fun. It's gonna be a good that I will really enjoy that series. But I'm going with the Rockets, and I'm putting the Rockets probably in Game 7.
Rockets in 7. They do the damn thing in Houston. I too have been loving myself some Jimmy Harden this season. He is going to cap off the MVP season with the NBA title, but they do it up in Toronto. They win in six games. They have a nice little party. Bring it back across the border. Should be a damn good time. All right, Bear. So I know that this is the less scheduled NBA podcast, but, well, I guess we'll do one again for the second round, but we're feeling frisky enough where the people need a podcast on a particular day. They can certainly get it. I'll be around. You, yeah?
Yeah, I'll be around.
Super duper. All right. Well, that's how we do things at the Divot. Sorry, folks. Fly by the seat of our pants. We've got you covered, though, for all slates. So, again, you want to check us out 24/7. You can do so at dfsarmy.com. Promo code podcast gets you 10% off each month of your subscription. With that, you get to play with the Domination Station, Research Station for baseball. By the way, Research Station for baseball has been fantastic. If you're an NBA-only kind of guy and haven't done MLB yet, you're still with us here at the Army. Make sure you go check that out. So, any closing thoughts here before we kick off the second season?
From a DFS perspective, I just understand that you can't go too much stars and scrubs because there aren't that many scrubs this late in the season. This season, being the playoffs, so you definitely want a much more balanced approach than you typically would. The only exception there is if you maybe have an injury and somebody else plays some more minutes, but guess what? Everybody else will play that too. So, just be careful, look to differentiate yourself wherever you can. If everybody's jumping on one guy, you can play him in a couple lineups, but don't play him in some others. Hope he doesn't do well and get yourself an advantage. So,
all right. That'll do it. Me, Bear, and the rest of the DFS Army. We go.
We go.
That'll do it.
Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you. Later.
Later, later.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.